pretty subtle.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether this is your first time with us or you've been here your whole life, we are so glad that you're worshiping here with us today. You may have noticed that Melissa is not here. She started her doctoral work, and so right now she is in between classes and frantically writing papers and having a wonderful time. So let's all wish her luck, and she'll be back in a couple weeks. We have a lot of exciting announcements today, so I'm just going to start with today and keep going in order. First off, if anybody missed our star gifts during Epiphany Week yesterday, and you would like to get a star that can sort of carry you throughout the year, then please come to the office and grab one. Last week we celebrated Epiphany by handing out stars that had words on them, words to help us focus our life and help us think more about God. And so if you would like one of those and haven't grabbed one, just come by the office. We also have confirmation today, right after worship. And so we'll be meeting in room 2, talking about the Bible. Looking forward to seeing the confirmands there. There's also a lot of dates right now coming up for the youth to RSVP. So if you want to come to Movie Madness, which is this Friday, I have to have your permission slip today. Come find me. Give it to me. It will be a great time. And the Senior High Annual Retreat is also coming up from the 23rd to the 25th, and that signed permission slip and money also needs to be in today. So please let me know if you're interested in coming.
Hello, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Alex. I wanted to give a quick reminder about the Jamaican Coffee House, which is next Saturday night, the 17th. The Coffee House is GPC's primary fundraiser for the Jamaican Senior High trip, and it's fun for the whole family. And for anyone who hasn't gone, it's amazing to see the room over there transformed into what looks like this amazing Jamaican jungle. There's food and world-class entertainment, and it's a night of eating pie and listening to some Taylor Swift karaoke, so if that sounds like fun, this is definitely for you. Of course, to make such an effort possible, we need volunteers. Volunteering is possible in two ways, providing donated food and desserts to sell, and of course, performing. If you or anyone you know has an obscure talent, I encourage you to sign up at the kiosk. I hope to see you all there.
Good morning. This is a reminder for anyone who wasn't at choir rehearsal this morning that, as per our practice for the next few months, we'll be rehearsing today, the second Sunday of the month, after worship in the adult lounge, 11:15 or whenever we're done. And if you've been interested in singing at any point some more contemporary folk popular music, we're going to be using these later rehearsals to focus on some of that sort of repertoire. So please join us if you're at all interested, 11:15. Choir rehearsal in the adult lounge.
Hola, good morning. Just wanted to invite everyone here personally to come to our Guatemala Partners meeting on Wednesday night at 7:30. We're going to be making a trip to Guatemala again in July of this year, and so we've started planning for that. And so if you've had any interest in finding out more about this wonderful partnership we have with Batavia Presbyterian Church, the Garden's Edge in New Mexico, and the work we're doing in Robinal, Guatemala, this is a good time to come and ask questions and find out why so many people want to go. We have a bunch of new people interested this year, so you're all invited to come. Thanks.
Good morning. Activity potluck. Number one is coming up on January 25th, and we'd like to invite you to bring your own crock pot, because there's going to be soup and a bowl to serve your soup, your favorite bread. You don't have to bring everything, one of these, okay? salad and dessert. We're looking forward to see you after the congregational meeting. Thank you.
Oh,
Well, it's appropriate I follow Gladstone, because after the potluck supper, the GPS group team, GPS God's Path Seekers, we've been working for some time now looking at the structure, the budget process, and the staffing of the church, and would like some feedback from the congregation. So after the potluck, we will be addressing and telling you where we're at and looking for input to see where we should be going. Thank you.
The 25th is going to be an exciting day for the church. That's when we'll be ordaining and installing our new elders, deacons, and trustees. We thought it was polite to wait until Melissa got back. Then we'll be having our annual meeting, and then the potluck and GPS time. So be sure to be there for some time to talk about where the church has been in this past year and where we're coming moving forward. Now let us worship God together.
I invite you to stand as you're able and join me in the call to worship. Behold, the new day that God has made. Feel God's touch on our lives. Hear the voice of the heavens.
It proclaims the goodness of creation to all of our citizens.
Let us open our hearts together to God's presence in our lives this morning.
Let us worship God here among us.
Amen.
Please join me in prayer. Holy God, you know every part of our lives and welcome us even as we struggle. And yet we hide from you, worried that you cannot forgive us and afraid to change the way we live. We feel too proud to admit that we need your grace and acceptance. Instead, we seek comfort in ways that distance us from you and from those around us. Forgive us, God. Remind us that in every moment you are present with us and your grace is eternal. Jesus was told that you are my beloved, my child. With you I am well pleased. These words are waiting for every child of God, and they are waiting for you. Now will the children please come forward and join me by the font. Forward. Yep, we're going to move a little bit closer here today. All right, make sure and get nice and close, okay? I want you guys to go ahead and be able to touch the water. You guys close enough? Yep. All right, you think you're good? You can come around here. Just don't hit your head. No tall people. All right, there we go. Today, all about when Jesus was baptized, the time when Jesus came with his friends and people who cared about him and came to get baptized, just like I bet lots of you were baptized right here in this church. So who knows who was baptized here? A lot of you, yeah. Was anyone baptized somewhere else? I was. You too? All right, here we go. Good. Oh. When we put the water on people when we baptize them, to let them know how much God loves them, that we're going to take care of them. Go ahead and touch the water. You guys want to mess with it a little? Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Nope, not feeling it. All right. Yeah, everything's cold today. Water started out warm, not so much anymore. Here, there's a towel you guys can dry off. Here, go ahead and touch it. Yeah. Come on in. We baptize people in water to let them know how much God loves them. And every time we get to feel water and splash around, yeah, come on in. We can remember how much God loves us. So here's a question for you. Have you guys ever had face paint? Yes? Okay. What kind of stuff have you had painted on your face? What thing? The snake. Okay. What else? And a bee. That's pretty good. All right, what about you?
Pluto.
Pluto? Oh, that's so cute. Okay, what are you? A spider. All right, that's pretty good. So when you guys have face paint, everyone can see it, right? But then it washes off, right? Maybe before you go to bed so you don't make a mess. But when we get baptized, that's a mark that stays on us. It goes right up here on our forehead with the water. And no matter where we go, God can always see it and know that we're part of God's family. And that's a mark that God can always see on us. To always know that we're loved and we're special here in the church. So you guys will remember that you're special and God loves you, right? Okay, let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for loving us. Help us to love each other. Amen. All right, time for Sunday school. Yep.
First reading of the word today is from Psalm 139, verses 1 through 12. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me will become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you.
The second reading of the word comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Listen now for the word of God. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Friends, will you pray with me? God, open our hearts and our minds that we may hear your grace and plant the seed of your love within us, that we may be witnesses to your truth. Amen. We're at the time of year right now when Jesus grows up pretty quickly. You remember how 2 weeks ago Jesus was born. Then the week after that, he was still being visited by the wise man, a tiny infant. And yet, somehow already, Jesus is a fully grown adult, moving about the countryside all on his own, entirely fine. We've skipped a lot, somehow. It feels a little bit like when you're watching maybe a soap opera or drama, and kids are somehow born and then just appear elementary school age the next episode. But it works. We're still at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Here we are before he's called his disciples, before he's performed miracles, coming to John and being baptized in the Jordan River. John has been living out by the Jordan River, preaching repentance and baptizing every person who showed up. So you think he would be excited to see Jesus, his own family. But when Jesus comes to him seeking baptism, John is not ready to baptize Jesus at all. I can't blame him. Baptism is, after all, a big deal. It's a holy act that dedicates us to God and marks a turning point in many adults' lives. For months, John has been welcoming people who were sinful and felt distant from God. They came to be baptized because they wanted to repent. They felt like there must be a new way for them to live. For them, baptism brought them closer to God. So why would Jesus get baptized? Surely he's already as close to God as you can get. John doesn't think he can baptize Jesus, that there's any way he could help Jesus connect with God or have a holy moment. For John, this must be a professional nightmare. He's holy, kinda, sure, John's doing okay, but he's no Jesus. It must have been like having Rachel Ray or Emeril Lagasse just show up in your kitchen for lunch, or giving Dale Earnhardt a ride home from work. Awkward. John knows he's outclassed, that he has nothing to offer Jesus. But Jesus insists that he be baptized anyway, just the same. Then something beautiful happens. Jesus stands in the water and is baptized. And then what John has started is finished by the very Spirit of God. The heavens are ripped open, and God descends as a dove right there for Jesus. And then God says the blessing that John couldn't give. "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased." Beloved. It's such a simple word, but it means so much. To be loved, truly loved, means that somebody cares about you for more than what you can do, but simply for being who you are. To be God's beloved is to be known completely and honestly. This is, after all, the same God of the Psalms who knows when we sit down and when we rise up, who knows our thoughts from far away, and whose right hand is always there to guide us. Being loved by God is to be entirely loved, every part in our being. God sees the parts of each person that they don't even like. God sees the parts of us that society says are wrong or bad, the parts that keep us up at night with shame and worry, the parts that are bad memories and bad events and scars from the past that we're still healing from. God knows us and knows, as our Creator, that we are still fearfully and wonderfully made. To be loved by God is to be understood not as who you want to be, but as who you truly are, the complex, human, beautiful being that God has made. It's to be seen with all your flaws and foibles and with all your potential, and to be accepted as somebody worthy of God's love. Be worthy of love from the God who created heaven and earth and who still, somehow, has time to care for you. John was worried about baptizing Jesus as if he was the one in charge of baptism. But of course, thank goodness, no baptism depends on the power of a holy man or a holy woman, or even on having holy water. The baptism is what makes things holy, with God's Spirit and grace. In baptism, we recognize that God's grace is already there for us, waiting. We open ourselves up to God's love, and God's Spirit comes rushing in to call us by name, to claim us as an adult or a tiny child, truly loved and nurtured by the church. So, of course, Jesus wanted to be baptized, to accept God's call on his life and bear witness to God's love. At Jesus' baptism, all who were gathered heard from the heavens that he was God's Son, the Beloved. Today, the echoes of God's proclamation are still heard in our lives. Through Jesus' life and sacrifice, God offered us all a place in God's house as beloved children. We offered the chance to become part of the kingdom of God, to be part of God's plan of love and justice for the world. We are baptized to mark that we are all members of the same family as Jesus Christ. In our baptisms, the Holy Spirit offers the same covenant that was proclaimed to Jesus so many years ago. Each baptized child is a son or a daughter of God and beloved. In them, God is well pleased in who they are and everything they can become together in the church. Every person is called and claimed just like Christ was. No matter where we are baptized or who is there, God's Spirit is there too, with love for each child. Every person baptized, God affirms that they are beloved. But we as the church make a covenant as love as well. We baptize children on Sunday mornings, here together, with the church and their family present, because baptism marks us all as members of the same family. When we baptize somebody, we recognize that they are truly important to God. Each baby that is held at our baptismal font is a beloved child of God, and therefore a beloved child of our church. We come together to celebrate and covenant with the child's family because we are all family through God's love. And just like family, we have a responsibility for every person who is baptized with our church. At each baptism, our congregation vows to help take care of the child, to teach them about God's love and help to nurture their faith. How could we not? After all, every child is made and loved by God. The least we could do is to recognize this love in their baptism and be there for them no matter what. There are plenty of us here who weren't baptized at GPC. I wasn't, certainly. And plenty of us who weren't even baptized in a Presbyterian church. Some of us haven't been baptized at all. And yet, every one of us is claimed as God's beloved child. Every one of us has God's water there, waiting to bless us, to claim us and call us by name. No matter where we go in our lives, God's Spirit and love go with us. A lot of things have changed since Jesus' baptism, especially compared to the way we do baptism. This water is a little chilly, sure, but it is nothing compared to wandering into the Jordan River. Trust me on this. I went to Israel last year in January, just to check, and it is cold. The Jordan River is surrounded by pilgrims from all around the world who have come together and honor the site of Jesus' baptism. In every language, they read scripture and they pray, remembering the site where the Spirit of God came down to the earth. You would think that maybe such a holy place would be a place of calm and purity, but the Jordan River is, you know, still a river. So when we arrived at the water, I realized that it was about as muddy as every other river, really. I took off my shoes and walked over to a ramp, ready to ease my feet down into the frigid water. But as soon as I walked closer, I saw that the bottom was filled with stones. And swimming peacefully in this holy sight were these huge whiskered fish. It's a little daunting to stand in the water and pray and try and think about God, waiting for catfish whiskers to brush against your ankles. But the water Jesus was baptized in is living water, even if it has way more life than I expected or than I really wanted. The Jordan River isn't the same as when Jesus went there. I'm willing to bet back then there were a lot more fishermen lined up with nets, for one thing. But much of the water in the river is gone now, into the homes of the Israelis and Palestinians who live nearby. The same water that was there in the river flows on, into their lives, nurturing them, strengthening them. The same waters of the Jordan River have been through a lot. They separated Moses and his people from the Promised Land, back when the Hebrews first entered ancient Israel. Those same waters nourished prophets and eventually covered Jesus in baptism. And then they moved on into the bodies and homes of so many other people. Pilgrims even collect bottles of the river water, without fish, of course, to take home and share. But no matter where the water comes from, God's promise is there with it. The Jordan River is still there. The water which baptized Jesus is long gone. By now it's provided life to new people. It's rained down and cleansed the earth and traveled downriver into new countries. It's one of the reasons that water is our symbol of God's love for us. It never stays still. It can make a mess of things. It may not be where you expected or wanted it, but it brings us life, and it is always somehow there for us. When we get to see water, to feel it on our skin, and celebrate how it brings us life, we're reminded of God's love, promised as we felt the waters of baptism. That same water has been in the cup offered to a thirsty traveler, far from home. It's been used to wash school uniforms of children and to power the homes of people living along riverbanks. That same water has flowed in wells in Sudan, built in partnership between Presbyterian American workers and Presbyterian Sudanese families. That water has spread to quench the thirst of people we'll never meet and still end up in our own taps here in Rochester. That water brings us together. We keep our baptismal font right here at the front of the sanctuary, cemented to the floor, as that sign of God's love is too important to ever lose. The cement pillar holds the fundamental base of our faith, sort of a load-bearing part of who we are as a church. But even when the baptismal font stays in one place, the waters of baptism move and flow, just like God's love does in our lives. The water from the Jordan River may have made it over here to GPC, and the water that baptized each of us into God's love and family still flows on, reminding us of God's love at every part of our journey. That water is a sign that just like Jesus, we are all beloved children of God. We are called and claimed by the God whose Spirit flows throughout the world. May we feel God's love and live as part of that family of Christ. Amen. Today is when we celebrate the baptism of Jesus. It's also when we remember our own baptisms. So I'd like you to join me right now in a litany of reaffirmation of our baptism. We are what God has made us, created in Jesus Christ and blessed by the Holy Spirit. We have been washed clean. We have been made holy in the waters of baptism. We are part of one body, given new life in the waters of baptism and meant to bring life to the world. Now, as part of God's family, called and claimed by the waters of baptism and sealed by the Holy Spirit, let us treasure the tremendous gift of God's covenant with us. Together, let us confess our belief and our unity as brothers and sisters in baptism. We believe that unity is, therefore, both a gift and an obligation in the Church of Jesus Christ. That this unity of the people of God must be manifested and be active in a variety of ways, in that we love one another, that we share one faith, have one calling, are of one soul and one mind, have one God and Father, are filled with one Spirit, are baptized with one baptism, eat of one bread and drink of one cup, confess one name, are obedient to one Lord, work for one cause, and share one hope. I want you to go ahead and think today, as we move forward, about your own baptism. You may remember, you probably don't. Think about the stories your family has told you. All the ways we have shown that you are loved, that you are part of God's family here in the church.
Thank you.
time in our service when we come together to share the things that are heavy on our hearts, the joys that we have to share as one community, and the worries as well, the people that we're praying for today. Who has someone that they'd like to lift up in prayer or joy to share?
Paulette Morgan, I would like prayers for my sister-in-law, Chris, who, from a cut on her leg, developed a flesh-eating bacterial infection and has had to lose her leg. She is in the hospital in Colorado, and it's kind of touch and go at the moment, but she should be okay, and we're asking prayers.
Prayers for her.
Hi, Jenny Barley. I'd like to ask for prayers for a lady named Connie. Connie is the receptionist for the Weight Watchers group that meets here during the week. She was working on Saturday morning and, in the process of her job, twisted her ankle on the high heel boots that she had on, fell, and landed on her elbow. She ended up with a compound fracture in her elbow and had to have a surgery. Now, when she fell, she holds no liability for GPC, by the way. But when she fell, she was protecting her right arm, which is casted from a broken wrist. So prayers for Connie, who now has two disabled arms. Thank you.
Prayers for Connie's recovery.
Rachel Kelly, prayers for Joy. I just got in the school musical.
Yes. Prayers of Joy.
Good morning, Todd Pym. 2 years ago, Heather and I shared that... shared that our oldest daughter, Jocelyn, had scoliosis. And it's been two long years of therapy, doctor's appointments, restless nights, a lot of pain, but the last visit we had with the x-ray showed that there has been no change in the last year, so that's very good. Her, you know, skeleton is matured, so there will not be any changes. So that's really good news, and I just wanted to thank everyone for their support and prayers during this. Thank you.
Thanks be to God.
Hi, Jeff Tuttle. Just want to thank everybody for the last year or so that Jen's been going through her surgery. She's gone through five surgeries in the last year, and we think we're done now. So she is recovered well from this last surgery, and things are looking promising. So just want to thank everybody for all of their prayers over the last year or so. And she's been battling through cancer, and she's looking good. So.
Clarine Kress, about a year ago, I asked for prayers for a girl named Lydia in my practice who had had leukemia. And after 5 years of being in remission, she relapsed. Unfortunately, she lost her battle this week and died. She was 9, and so prayers for her family. Okay?
Prayers for Lydia's family.
Irene Ward, prayers for friends and coworkers that one person has been battling an infection for 9 weeks, and they can't seem to get to the source, and another friend who's going through extreme stress and needs some prayers. Thank you.
Hi, Ron Seimler. I've asked before prayers for my mom. She's battling both breast cancer and lung cancer, and we found this week that the results from her 3-month checkup didn't go as well as we wanted. So tomorrow we're going to meet with the doctor to see what our next options are for her. So just continue prayers for my mom.
Ed Koontz, I'd ask prayers for my sister Jean, who fell last week and was operated on Thursday for a broken foot. She's going to be living at home in her lounger chair for the next 6 weeks while her foot heals. Thank you.
We also have prayers from our children. They share prayers of joy for Christmas presents, as well as prayers of concern for a grandfather who had a stroke. giving a lot of thanks for birthdays, favorite movies and friends, and New Year's resolutions, which is not something I've ever given thanks for, so they are doing pretty well. I also like to lift up prayers of thanks for good grades, a new computer. They would also like to pray for people who are questioning their faith and for the people in Paris recovering from a terrorist attack. Let us lift up prayers for them. People in Paris can find ways to come together and care for each other in this difficult time with love. Also ask that you remember people who are recovering from surgery right now. Annie Bowman is doing extremely well recovering from surgery, and Don Bernhardt is also recovering in stages. And continued prayers for those of us who are ill. It feels like the flu has hit everybody pretty much, and so hope that people are getting better, and prayers for Hannah Walker, who is continuing to heal. Let us pray together. Gracious God, you call us beloved, and we wonder. We look around at our lives, and we see so many things that make us worry. Our loved ones who are ill, who are worried about the future, who are recovering from injuries and facing struggles with cancer. We see the people who are grieving, the people who are caring for their loved ones and worried about the future. But God, we know that in all those times you were there with us, that your Son weeps with us, and that no matter what, your love is always there, shining there for us. As present as the water, as unexpected as a rain shower, your love is still there for us. God, help us to feel your love this week, to know that we are beloved, to act as if we are your children, to live in that moment and promise a wonderful life together. And God, help us to see your love in each person we meet, to know that they too are created by you and loved just as we are. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, who taught us to love and taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Friends, we know that everything we have comes as a gift from God. So let us give back to God in thankfulness with our offerings.
Creator God, we are all of one family. We pray that these gifts today will bring peace to the family, our family here at Gates Presbyterian Church, our family outside the church, and our family around the world. May these gifts bring your peace. Amen.
Into the world in peace, know that each
and every one of you is God's child, God's beloved. With you, God is well pleased. May you show God's love to every person that you meet, and may you see the light of God's love in them. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. scheduled for it, the 20th. Replacement, yeah. So, the right, but the left one is probably up for April, May. So,
I think that's the first thing that's going to be
done.
That was a lot easier.
I think the two extra ones. Why do I have to talk?